You're listening to Marketplace. I'm Molly Wood, in for Kai Rizdahl. Okay, we've had appetizers and we moved on to football. It's pretty clear this is couch time. Hey, but consider the couch or chair or coffee table for a second. In quite a lot of houses, including mine, there's a decent chance at least some of those things came from the yellow and blue juggernaut of the furniture world. Yeah, I'm talking about IKEA. I am. And it turns out IKEA is actually a bit of an economic enigma. But whatever it's doing, it's working. Oliver Rader is a senior writer for 538. He wrote a piece titled The Weird Economics of IKEA. Oliver, how are you?
Hi, I'm well, thanks.
All right, so let's talk about, let's get down to business. First of all, we have to talk about the sheer size of IKEA. And I don't mean each individual store, which itself is overwhelming. But you said in your piece that IKEA uses up to 1% of the planet's lumber. Is that every year?
That's right. Each year, according to the company, they use 1% of all the wood we use to make things, and that adds up to hundreds of millions of cubic feet of wood every single year. Just incredible.
Yeah, and it seems to be beyond just scale in some ways. Can you talk a little bit about, you illustrated some of these interesting economics with the Poang chair. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, although I do own one.
Well, I'm not fluent in Swedish, but I think that's right. The Poang chair was designed about 40 years ago, and it's one of IKEA's best-selling products. They sell about 1.5 million every single year. And I was watching an old movie, an 80s movie, and I saw what I thought was the chair. So being, you know, the data journalist that I am, I had to go look up old IKEA catalogs and see how much this thing would have cost. And IKEA came to the U.S. in 1985. And by around 1990, if you adjust for inflation, the Poang chair cost about $350 in 1990. And today, you can get the chair for less than $80. So this was kind of my data jumping off point for the piece. It was just that remarkable decline in price.
I think I paid like about $125. So I was probably right in the middle of that curve of my Poang chair buying. But so how is it that IKEA is consistently able to lower the relative price of some, if not all, of its products?
It turned out that an economist had actually looked at these trends a bit, Marian Baxter, who's at Boston University. So I chatted with her, and she had been working on a project basically encoding IKEA catalogs back decades. And her theory is almost Darwinian, the idea being that IKEA will introduce a product, say the Poang chair, and then if it does well, it'll be sort of a survival of the fittest. So they'll figure out how to make them more efficiently, and if economies of scale really kick in, that's why we see the price kind of go down down over time.
Yeah. Tell me about the expensive products. What happens to them?
So the opposite is also true, but it's a little bit harder to see in the data, of course, because those products just disappear. So if they introduce a product that is finicky to make, maybe it requires parts from one country and other parts from another and design in a third, and it doesn't sell well at its initial price, that product will basically disappear from the catalog.
How does the catalog play into it?
Every year they put out a catalog, and you can find, nowadays, you can find a PDF of that catalog online. It's not exhaustive. It's not every single product. But for my piece and for Baxter's economic research, it was a wonderful source of data, basically. So I started just by Googling, IKEA catalog 1985, and you can even find pages from, 30-year-old IKEA catalogs, and they print the price right in the catalog. So for a data journalist or for an economist, they turned out to be, very data-rich historical documents.
And clearly, and you even say this, IKEA is in a class by itself. What are they so good at? What are the pieces you think that let them dominate the furniture space for so long?
There are no other IKEAs. Marian Baxter, the economist, told me that, 15 years ago, she would have told you there would have been IKEAs all over the place, and she would have been dead wrong. And, there are some other kind of interesting mysteries, too, from an economic point of view. One is kind of international pricing discrepancies. So occasionally, a price of a piece will go up in Canada but down in the U.S., which, if you can believe it, will even makes Canadians mad, which is a pretty horrifying prospect. there are unanswered IKEA mysteries out there. If a budding young economist is looking for a thesis topic, there you go.
I think it's got to be the meatballs. It's got to be.
Must be the meatballs.
Oliver Rader is a senior writer for 538. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.